Welcome to China Manufacturing Decoded from Sofeast, the podcast where we take you through some of the major topics facing importers and manufacturers in China today. Welcome back, listener. You're listening to episode 43 of the podcast. Adrian from Sofeast here, and I'm joined by our CEO, Renaud, who's going to be talking you through preventive maintenance. You'll see why it makes sense to keep any machinery in the factory up and running in a nearly new condition, and how making a preventive maintenance plan provides a lot of benefits for a business down the line. So let's jump into that. Hello again, Renaud. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, hi, Adrian. How are you doing?
Yeah, fine. Thank you. You?
Yeah, getting to the end of the week soon, I hope.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we do record at the end of the week, so it's always been a long week, and just sort of getting through it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. What I wanted to do was to explore preventive maintenance in a bit more detail today. So firstly, could you introduce what preventive maintenance is, please?
Sure. Actually, first, I'm going to say what bad factories do is they don't take any preventive actions. They buy a piece of equipment. They might not have, the right people to keep it up. They might, you know, it might be a little bit too high tech for them, maybe, or just too complicated. They don't have the experience with that. Okay, they work with the equipment manufacturer to set it up, to get it running. They know how to set it up, hopefully, and do the changeovers. And then, you know, one day, maybe a tool that is loaded in the equipment, or maybe the equipment itself is down, is no longer working. So then it's all about reactive maintenance, you know, repairing. Mm. Okay, it's down right now. It's not allowing us to do any production. And okay, so what are we doing? Let's hurry up to repair it. And we might have to buy some spare parts, maybe. We don't have them here in stock. Oh, we're not even thinking that this piece of equipment would go down ever, you know. Oh, the manufacturer didn't tell us that it would go down. Okay, So let's rush through that. Let's call the manufacturer. Maybe it's still in under some kind of warranty. They can come and fix it for free or whatever. And then it's back on its feet. It's you know, the equipment is back, is up and running. And then after a while, again, you know, it is in need of repair. And every time it's a little bit of a scramble, hey, how to do and so on. So preventive maintenance is what good factories do, basically to minimize the amount of unplanned downtime. So there is still going to be some downtime, when, for example, a piece of machinery you need to maybe it says every week you make sure it's stopped and plugged and everything, and then you open this port, you clean it, you check this, and then you put it back in normal working condition. Basically, it's fine for running again. That's a little bit of downtime. Sometimes it's more it's much longer downtime. For example, maybe if the manufacturer says that the mean time to repair is 6 months, and the first thing that breaks usually is that piece of tooling, then 3 months in, you already have the piece of tooling ready to be replaced, and you keep checking it, and maybe more and more often as you get close to 6 months, and maybe at 6 months you just say, okay, I'm not going to take any chances because now it's pretty likely to break soon, and you just replace it. This is the kind of things that are done by preventive maintenance people, and there is some overlap with 5S, obviously, when you clean and you check that things are okay as they should, at the same time the operators hopefully can can clean the machinery, can check from time to time, hey, maybe check the heat here when it's been running the whole day, maybe check the for the vibrations. If there's excess vibrations, it might mean that something is not functioning properly for some reason, or is starting already to break. We don't see it yet, but for example, vibrations is a relatively common way to pick up on these kinds of things, right? So if there is, so 5S and preventive maintenance, both of them are activity-based operations. It's not result-based. So you need to set up a plan and have people, you know, give some standards and have people do it, basically. And there's a lot of overlap at the basic level. 5S helps with preventive maintenance. It's kind of part of it, actually.
Okay. And you mentioned the plan, and that's what we're going to come on to. But before we move on to that, I just wanted to ask, I mean, all of this, you might think it might sound expensive. Is that the case in comparison to, you know, reactive maintenance?
Well, both are, you know, come with costs, obviously. And so the benefits, you know, what you do preventive maintenance to have much fewer issues when a piece of equipment goes down as a surprise, right? When it comes down as a surprise, it might have been making bad parts for one day and people, you know, did not notice it before, but it was already kind of, there was already something wrong. It can have an impact on quality. And then when you make bad parts for a day, that might eat all of the profit of the factory for the entire month. Plus, well, we need to reorder the materials of the components. We need to wait. We need to reprocess it. There is an impact on the customer often, right? And then you need to you're in firefighting mode. You're expediting this production because it's late and the customer is pushing you hard, and it messes up your whole production planning and everything is less efficient. It forces you to do more changeovers and things like that, for example. So that's one way of seeing it. And obviously also when a piece of equipment goes down as a surprise, it impacts production. And in some cases, if there's no inventory, or I mean, there's little inventory, too little for that, you know, you might have 20 people sort of out of work, idling, you know, just waiting for repair. So imagine the pressure on the maintenance guys who have to repair now, right? So it's really not pleasant. And that's quite costly. Not to mention when it goes down, often there are more serious damages if you do that too often to the piece of equipment. So the lifetime of your asset is shorter. And so if you purchase a piece of machinery and you say, okay, this is going to last for 10 years, but actually you just let it go down on its own without paying any attention, giving it any care. Maybe after 3 or 4 years, you have to get rid of it. It's no longer working, right? So that's quite expensive, right? And the plan with the idea about preventive maintenance, hey, it's like going to the dentist, you know? Are you going to wait until your one of your teeth is going to be really hurting you and then you have to pull it all out or something really bad like that? Or you go to the dentist regularly and he's going to say, oh, you're starting to have a cavity here. Okay, let me do something. Pop. Okay, yeah. It's nearly as new, you know, nearly as new. And that's a little bit the idea in a simplified way.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So that's a lot of good reasons to consider implementing it. I guess when we talk about the plan, it's probably best to start off with some example scenarios. So I don't know if you've got anything you can share.
Yeah, I wrote an article about that, I think, last year on the blog, and we'll send a link to it.
Yeah.
But there's different ways to do it, and different formats, right? So for example, if you think, okay, there's a filter, let's say air filter, on a piece of equipment, and there's oil and things like that. Okay, you need to look at these consumables and the weights. You need to keep the filters clean. You need to check for oil leaks, any other leak, and so on, right? And this, yeah, as I said, is basically 5S, keeping things clean and at the same time checking if any source of dirt or grease or anything like that is actually the sign of a deeper problem, right? So these little things can be done daily. You know, again, cleaning the filter, checking for oil leaks, and so on. Then the certain parts of the equipment that you might want a technician to check weekly. So the daily thing is more by the operator side, right? No need to have a technician or an engineer do that. Then maybe once a week you have a technician come in, look at some mechanical elements, you know, maybe the belts and the pulleys, and just to make sure everything's fine, you know. So he really needs to get the machine down, you know, completely stopped, open it up, check everything okay fine, or it's starting to be fraying, or starting to look a little bad or whatever. Okay, let's make sure we have something in inventory ready to replace it, and then do make a note to maybe check it more carefully going forward, right? Then daily, weekly is like time-based, and then there's certain actions that can be age-based, meaning how many cycles or how many hours of operation of the machine. So it's like a car, you know, every X years you have to bring it for a checkup. Every I don't know, what is it, every 6 months or 10
usually
kilometers,
an annual service, or based on a number of miles or kilometers that you've
right.
done. Yeah.
Yeah. And it depends on the car and so on, right? Maybe
yes.
2 years or 50,000 km or something. And then more frequently, maybe every 6 months or 10,000 km, then maybe oil change, you know? So same thing on a piece of equipment in a factory. I mean, these kinds of things don't, are not that different. Mm. And maybe, you know, certain parts like the seals, the O-rings, the whatever, some accessories, some valves can be changed after, you know, a lot of cycles. But, you know, there's a certain time when it comes to say, hey, this is now relatively likely to malfunction or totally fail to do its job. So let's just get it out, and this way we keep the machine in good condition, you know, as close as possible to being new, in new mm-hmm. condition. That's the objective, you know. Maintenance technicians often say that, hey, it's got to be as new, you know, as much as possible, right? You don't just let it deteriorate and degrade and so on. No. This is a nice piece of machinery. Let's take good care of it. It's like a car. I mean, you buy a nice car, you know, and you think, hey, I want it to still be operational in 5 years, in 10 years. And I also still want it to look good, and I want it to run nicely and so on. This is the same kind of idea. A lot of similarities. Mm. And then sometimes it's a bit more like a process control plan, where it's very much okay for this process or this asset or this piece of equipment, every day do this, and then every 2 hours do this, every day do this, every 2 days do this, and so on. a little bit differently, but it will show up more clearly if people open up that article with some examples, because it's kind of hard to describe here.
Yeah, no, I understand. I would urge everybody to check the show notes for the links that I'll be adding in for what you're talking about. And in order to get a good idea of the type of plan as well, we actually do provide a template that people can download, right? So we'll also give a link to that, and you can grab your own version of it. It's an Excel sheet, and have a look at it, yeah?
Absolutely. And if maybe some of your suppliers, you notice that they're always surprised when a machine goes down, they're always surprised when, oh yeah, well, this time it doesn't work the way it should. There's a little bit of a difference. We didn't see it. Well, that, you know, one of the root causes is probably the absence of a preventive maintenance plan.
Right.
So that's a good template to give them, and then request that they go ahead and fill it out.
Okay, so let's say we've got the template. We're going to implement a preventive maintenance plan in our Chinese factory, or maybe a factory elsewhere as well. What sort of challenges do you think the listener can expect when they're trying to do this?
Wow. Are you kidding? You need to stop the machine to check it up. Hey, we're too busy. You know, that's just the way it is. Production people on their own will often tend to run the equipment to death, basically, right? And and of course, when it goes down, well, for them it's an excuse. Well, yeah, the guys maintenance, they don't do a good job, whatever, you know. It took them half a day to put it back up. So of course, you know, our efficiencies are down and blah, blah, but it's not our fault, you know? So it's easy to point the finger at the other guys. That's why in some factories, they put the maintenance staff under the production manager, so that it's all managed in the same house. You cannot point fingers, right? So that is an issue. Another common issue is the lack of capable staff. So some of these tasks are simple. Some of these tasks require some experience, and this will be more and more true as as manufacturers automate their processes and they go toward more high-tech operations. And the problem is very often when they automate, they don't automate one step at a time. You know, okay, let's automate the unloading, and let's make sure that when the part is loaded, the operator doesn't have to do anything, and blah blah blah, you know. And at the end, hey, let's also automate the loading, and like with a vision system that will position the arm that will grab the part exactly as is necessary to grab the part, and blah blah blah. That's much higher tech, actually. And the more high tech and the more single points of failure you have in your process, the more often it's likely to be down. And I've seen some very impressive automation projects, but you know, 30%, 40%, 50% of the time it's not working, it's down. People are still running around and, oh, you know, it's down. Okay, let's do something. What's the problem? It's here. Okay, up, and let's get it back running. Okay. And it's, if you have 10 small Epson robot arms to fold your packaging, to fold your products into the packaging and everything, maybe it's a little bit overkill, you know. So, and especially if you go there directly, it's definitely overkill. Now, if you take your current process and maybe on this packaging line, there's 10 people working, okay, let's automate this and let's remove one person at a time. And let's make sure that we really master what we've done, and the uptime of the equipment is acceptable before we go higher tech.
I bet when you go to a factory and they have a lot of automation, lots of equipment, maybe fewer and fewer staff these days, and you're starting to realize, I don't know if these guys have got a good preventive maintenance plan in place. That's probably something that starts to make you feel very nervous.
That's right. That's right. Yes. And the more they rely on the equipment, the more nervous buyers should get. Yes.
And that seems to be the way of things in China these days as we go along.
It's a trend. So, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
everywhere. Everywhere. Okay. When you look at the demographics of China, it's, I mean, and when you hear most factory managers, it's, they know it's ahead of them.
Okay. So having heard all of this introduction to preventive maintenance, just to close out the podcast, what sort of benefits can we quickly list to that we can expect when we're using preventive maintenance then?
Sure. So basically, by reducing the amount of downtime, and especially the bad surprise, last minute I found about it kind of downtime, you increase the capacity of the whole factory. So all of the fixed expenses are now helping you make more production, in some cases much more production, right? So and also since there's fewer bad surprises, you don't need to hold that much inventory. And inventory, if you hold, let's say, $100,000 of inventory, that is costing you, you know, $10,000 to $25,000, sometimes more, in food or some electronic components sometimes that get obsolete very, very fast. It can be $30,000, $35,000, you know, in annual cost every year, right? Plus, it's taking your cash that you might want to use for something else. So it's forcing you to hold more inventory. It's forcing you to promise longer lead times to customers, so it might cost you also some business. And obviously, you know, if you have too many bad surprises, well, customers are impacted from time to time. So you say, oh yeah, sorry, blah blah blah, you know, we cannot ship, we're going to be 1 week late, 2 weeks late, and so on, right? And it kind of compounds if there's a lot of productions that are late. If you do smart preventive maintenance together with smart automation, which is kind of my one of my previous points, not going too fast down the road to very high-tech equipment, you really maximize your workers, the operators. You increase their efficiency, their productivity, definitely. And over time, you build your competences internally on how to do the maintenance. Okay, so this really goes hand in hand with automation. It actually allows you, you know, good maintenance competencies in your company will allow you to go further and faster in automation. Okay, I mentioned quality issues. Hey, yeah, this tool was kind of half broken already, but nobody saw it. So we made hours and hours of production of this part, and actually all of them are bad. We're going to have to scrap them and reorder and wait and blah, 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 and reprocess, and such a waste, right? Very costly. And in some cases, they don't really notice it, or they just, you know, don't want to see it. And the customer gets it. So that's a real problem, right? And also, if you do preventive maintenance together with 5S and together with process controls, it really reinforces each other. I mean, 5S helps with preventive maintenance and process controls. Preventive maintenance does help with process control. Actually, when it comes to processes that run on equipment, it's pretty much the same thing. To keep the piece of machinery working as expected, you need to keep it in good condition. It's pretty obvious. And also, process control, yeah, will inform maintenance, because by checking this process step often in a certain way, people will notice some deviations. And then if there are people in maintenance who are paying attention to that, they can act when it's still very cheap to do something, right? Again, think of your teeth, you know, it's going to the dentist, right? If your dentist knew when you're starting to have a cavity, well, then, you know, it's so much better than going to see him 1 year later.
Yeah.
Same idea. So you get to do maintenance anyway. Now, the question is, will you do maintenance on your terms based on a plan? So you put some resources on it and you know, much fewer surprises. Or are you going to do it after the equipment breaks in a rush when everybody says, oh, I can't do my work because I'm waiting for parts. There's no more parts, you know. Pick your preference, but for sure, doing only reactive maintenance is going to be more costly.
Yeah, and what a compelling way to end the episode. That's excellent, Renaud. Thanks for joining me.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to like and share, and you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other places that you get your podcasts from. See you next time.